What is up, everyone? Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
What up, everybody? Yes, it's Teresa. Yes, it's Tess. And if you don't know why I'm so excited, I'm vaccinated. Yeah.
That's, you know what? That's interesting because I know we talk about like our, you know, what happened this week sort of thing, like a recap of our lives every episode. And I actually got my first shot yesterday. My first,
Oh, wow.
yep, I got Team Pfizer, Team Pfizer.
Team Pfizer.
And so I actually was okay. I got the shot. Actually, I freaked out a little bit because I saw, so I went early, and I looked at my phone to like read, because you know, like depending on where you go, they have procedures like how you come in, where you go, where you stand. And so I was reading from my phone and it said, oh, to curve off side effects, drink however much, you know, ounces of water before you get here. And I'm like, oh God, I didn't drink enough.
Oh
So
no.
I text my wife and she was like, yo, just go in the store and buy something real quick. So I went and got like all this water and I'm like drinking it down, right? And mind you, I'm there a whole like 45 minutes early. And
Yeah,
so
dude.
I drank all this water, and they're like, we'll get you in when we can or whatever. And I'm like, oh crap, I have to use the bathroom. Like, when are they coming? So they finally get me in, and they actually got me in a little early. We went to the back, and she gave me the shot. Told me about like they told me to stay around the area for I think like 15 minutes to make sure like I don't pass out or something. And then I was, you know, on my way home. And it was cool. Like I didn't really have any side effects. My arm was hurting today, so the day after. But it was mostly I was just tired. So yesterday I was tired and today I was really, really tired, but it curved off after lunchtime. Like I felt better. I felt enough to be able to do because I didn't teach early today. I taught like way after lunch. So I was like, all right, I'm good, I'm good, I'm good. Hopefully the second Pfizer shot is like that and I'm just tired because I'm not looking forward to any type of fever or whatever the case. But I just thought it was cool because we had talked about, you know, you getting your last shot and me getting my first shot. So that actually works. That works really well.
I hope that I'm literally hoping and praying, and look, all the gods, I'm gonna need y'all to not let this man feel the side effects. Like, let it be like the water shot. 'Cause my sister, she was like, oh, I must have gotten water because I didn't feel none of these things, and she got it like months ago. I will tell you that the first shot, just like you had, I had the same side effects. My arm
Word.
hurt. My arm actually hurt for days, though. It hurt for like 4 days. I took, I don't remember if I took Advil or Tylenol, whatever. I was in pain, so I took whatever. But I got really tired, but I didn't know what it was. I didn't know why I was so tired because I didn't attribute that to the shot because I didn't remember hearing that from anybody.
Right.
So, I mean, and I was lethargic and I just didn't know what it was. And I'm like, did I have coffee today? Did I have my ADD meds? Like, dang, why am I so tired? And then I also ended up getting like cold symptoms a few days in. And then I started feeling a bunch of other stuff, but come to find out, that's just because the water in my apartment is poison. Found
Oh
that out.
God. Wait,
Yeah, about
what?
a week. Yeah, just on a whole nother side note, there's some stuff in my water and I've been drinking it because I thought it was just the charcoal from my Brita filter. It's actually not the charcoal from my Brita filter. It's something else. Personally, I think it's, well, I thought it was the metal shavings, like when you have those hoses inside
Yeah.
your spout because you have a thing and it's like the metal braided one. I was like, maybe it's just shaving off and it's like metal pieces, but I tried to use a magnet to see if it would work. Not like all metal is actually really that magnetized, whatever. I don't know, but that's pretty much what's been killing me for the last month because I had really like I was really not feeling
Yeah,
well.
you were having like constant sore throats and stuff.
Constant sore throat. I felt sick. I felt really sick. I was getting nausea a lot, and I was like, something's not right. And I remember after I would drink water, like I literally remember this, having water by my bed. And like drinking it and then being like nauseous later. And I'm like, maybe I'm not drinking enough water. No, the water was poison. That's probably why Hermione wasn't feeling great either, because we were drinking the same Brita water.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Anyway, that's besides the point. It's a whole different story. But then I figured that out. Then I went and got my second shot. Like my body was ready for more poison, right? So I get this shot. I'm like waving my arm like I don't care in the place. And then I'm like, yay, my Uber's here. Gotta go. Bye. I don't know how many minutes I waited. Didn't matter. I went to the Xfinity store afterwards because y'all know I was on some really busted internet last week. And so I needed to get that right. And I did because Xfinity done not charged me a $9 million like they were before. Okay, because I came back as a new person. So yeah, nice. You can get lower rates as long as you're willing to go 2 weeks without internet. Moving along. Maybe I shouldn't have said that out loud because now they'll know and then they'll come for me. Moving on. Get a contract, people. Lock it in. So I got my shot. Like I said, I went to the Xfinity store. I came home that night and I started feeling body aches. I just, again, I didn't attribute it to the thing, to the shot. And then when before I went to bed, I had a headache. So, and it was an Advil type headache. You know the difference between an Advil headache and a Tylenol headache?
Right.
Like this was an Advil headache. So I took Advil. I went to sleep. I didn't sleep the whole night. I was in pain. Again, not thinking it was a shot because I was thinking I was going to get way different symptoms.
Right.
Not thinking that it was just going to be like this pulsating pain in my body, like my arms hurting, my legs throbbing, that kind of stuff. When I woke up the next day, I was like, oh, I'm good. I'm fine. And I was like, but I don't feel so great. Let me take some Tylenol. Because I started feeling those waves that you get when you're about to get a fever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got those. And so then I was like, wait, oh God, I think this is the shot. And it got worse. It got worse. No. It was bad. And I was like, oh my God, I don't feel good. I don't feel good. But when I went to go lay down, I got sicker. And I was like, oh my God, I got to keep moving. I got to keep moving. So I got up. I kept moving, right? And I was like, okay, I feel better. Then I was like, I need to sit down. I'm tired. I sat down on my couch. I got nauseous. I was like, oh God, I got to. Like, it was bad. I was like, stand up. Keep moving. Keep moving. Drink your ginger ale. That's why you bought it. And then I was like, wait, you didn't buy any soup. You have no provisions. So I took 2 Advil and 2 Tylenol.
Oh, wow.
Within 30 minutes, I was feeling fantastic. Like I could do a cartwheel so much. And y'all know my left arm is broken. So like I couldn't do no cartwheel. But I was like, yo, you got to get to Target. You got to get stuff. You got to get provisions. You need soup. I went to Target feeling so good. Okay. I was walking around. I was getting stuff I didn't need, putting it in my cart. Then, and I called my sister. She was like, okay, well, if you're at Target, you're fine. We were worried about you. I was like, no, I mean, I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I took a lot of medicine. Dude, right? Like when I realized I needed to leave, I was like, oh crap, my body's no. Like that's what it felt like. It felt like I was like, no, I'm still in Target. I can't start feeling like this. Oh my God. Well, by the time the Uber came to pick me up from Target, I couldn't even lift the bags into the car. And you know, Uber drivers and Lyft drivers are not trying to help people put their groceries in the car no more because of COVID.
Correct.
And I'm like, dude, what is wrong with you? Just put them in the car. I'm not asking you to make out with me. Just pick them up and put them in the car. But no, you know, they're not doing that. So I had to do it myself. Mind you, I'm in pain, whatever. Okay, so I get home. I'm like, oh God, I'm shaking. My other sister calls me and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. I'm like, I don't feel good. I don't. She's like, I mean, well, you went to Target, so I'm pretty sure you're fine. I was like, my body hurts. Everything hurts. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. She's like, we were okay after our shot. Just, you know, one of us had a little bit of fever. I said, I just talked to my friend. She got her shot the day before. She has 100-degree fever. I was teetering at 99.4. That's because I kept taking medicine. Okay. And I was like, and I had a fever for 2 days.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah. So anyway, moral of the story, I felt like crap. Okay. I felt like there was little hammers in my body, just hammering on the inside out. Like that's how throbbing the pain was, like in my body. And then, and even on the bottom of my feet, when I said my feet were like, I was like, this is not okay. And so, and then I couldn't sleep. So the point is like Tuesday. So I didn't go to work. I took off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. By the end of Monday, I was like, I don't know if I can go to work Tuesday because my fever broke Monday morning, but I was so exhausted from not sleeping. I didn't sleep Saturday night, Sunday night. And then Monday night, I was like, well, it's not going to be good and either. And then I woke up on Tuesday and I was like, well, I feel good enough to go to work, but I still don't feel good. So I'm fine now in regards to that. But man, y'all, that was not fun for me.
Man, that's rough. I hope that's not the case.
Right.
Side note, is Target the like the barometer of like whether or not someone is okay? Like if you can go to
Yeah.
Target, you good? Like that's how that.
Yeah, you're good because see, I would say that like if you had said, "Oh, let me go to Walmart." Nobody who goes to Walmart is good. So like it's just known that if you go there, you're probably not in the best of mental state or physical state, just in spirit, mind, body. But Target at least is a different measure. It's Target. So, you know,
Oh,
if
okay.
it's like, "Oh, you went to Target, you could get through Target, da da da." What? Da da da. Okay. That means that you went all the way from like, you know, the aisle where they have Capri Sun all the way over to the aisle where they have like the bomb makeup for black people. You're doing good.
Was that
So,
Fendi? No, not
but,
Fendi.
no, they don't have Fenty there. They have the other girl. They have the lip bar. The girl who was on Shark Tank, they got that. And they
Okay.
got Honey Pot. Those are feminine products for women.
That's what's up.
Well,
Well,
they're feminine, so they're for women. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's what we did. We are doing our due diligence. Is that a good way to say it?
we're getting out there. You know, I
For the
saw
people.
a thing, and I kind of want to point this a little bit. Not we don't have to spend any time on it, but I saw recently how you know certain comedians and just famous people were like, you know, they don't want to. They don't trust the vaccine,
Yeah.
and some of them were, you know, were black, and I get it. I get it. I think there was a, you know, because in terms of our history and like, you know, things being tested on us, and like, you know, the guys who were on, I forgot what news station it was. I think it was, where they were talking about like, why aren't we testing this stuff in Africa and stuff like that. Like,
Oh, hell no.
there's a lot of bad. There's a lot of that, but it's not like the Tuskegee, you know, whatever. It's not like that. They're giving the shot to everybody. If you just if you still don't want to take it, that's cool, that's on you, but it's helpful. We're trying to get through this, so I don't want to dismiss black fear because that comes from a place. This isn't like people aren't making up the really bad stuff that's happened medically, and the bad stuff that's still happening medically with black people. But at the same time, there's a reason why, you know, we decided to get the vaccine. So not gonna go into that's a whole nother
That's a whole
cast.
nother cast.
We ain't got time for that. We ain't got time for
No,
that.
not
But
today.
if you want us to talk about it, you know, we you know what I'm saying? But I'm just not today. So couple of things, just mentioning, you know, or going forward past the stuff that we did this week, aside from getting shots, was
Shots,
Marvel
shots,
announced
shots, shots,
shot.
shots.
God, I couldn't. You know what? I didn't even feel it. Like it they did it and I was looking at my phone. And I was like, all right, so we're gonna do, and she's like, oh, we're done. I'm like, oh,
Yeah, first one is nothing. First one,
all
and you
right.
don't even feel the prick. The second one, on the other hand, was like, wait a minute, that's not the same needle that you used last time. Like, no, it's not even the same at all.
I was
Like,
expecting, like, when
at
I got my
all.
tetanus shot, when I like got going to college, and how that was like a punch immediately, and it was sore the rest of the. That's what I thought was gonna happen. So I was kind of
Me
like
too.
bracing myself, and. Yeah, I didn't feel it at all. I was like, oh, all right. So yeah, definitely, you know, if you can, I know there's issues with that. I still don't recommend the Johnson and Johnson one, even though they brought it back after, you know, taking it down or whatever. Yeah, no. Yeah, if you can get a Pfizer one, or I forgot what the other one was,
Moderna.
Moderna, definitely do those. But yeah, this week, a couple of things. So jumping into one of our main topics. Marvel announced the release dates for a bunch of their films for the you know Marvel Phase 4. So this is the Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4. That includes a bunch of films, also the TV shows, like for instance Loki, the Loki series that's coming to Disney Plus, as well as Hawkeye, the new Hawkeye show that's coming to Disney Plus. It includes that. It also includes a bunch of movies. Black Widow is actually in it. It's interesting that she's phase four, meaning because it was supposed to come out a while ago, and because of COVID, it kept getting pushed back. So it feels like it shouldn't be in phase four. But I'm happy that it's, you know, it's coming. It's coming July 9th, so we'll finally see this prequel to the Black Widow story. It's unfortunate. I really think it should have come out even before Avengers, The Last Avengers. But you know, it's interesting. So. That'll be coming to, I want to say it's coming also to Disney Plus when it drops. It won't just be in theaters. However, we might be in a better space potentially by July. So, who knows? Loki is in June 9th. A big announcement, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. Awesome trailer. Th that is coming September of this year. I am looking forward to it. I'm a little afraid just because the directors, I want to say one of the directors was worked on Mortal Kombat or writers. And
Oh,
so I'm a little afraid there. However, the trailer looks good and Marvel is pretty hands-on in terms of keeping things at a certain, or maybe I should say Disney, but keeping things at a certain, quality. Also,
no.
this being like, not like Black Panther, but being like a Black Panther for the Asian community, it makes sense that they want to do this correctly. So that's coming out September 3rd, and I hear that the Mandarin, the real Mandarin, not the fake guy from Iron Man 3, is going to be in the film. So I'm
Oh.
looking super forward to that. Another big announcement was The Eternals actually has a release
Yes.
date, November
Yeah.
5th. Has a dope cast, or at least dope sounding cast. What has me excited, outside of the fact that it's the Eternals, for people who don't know, Thanos is one of the Eternals, but he's what they call like a mutate. Think like mutants, but like people who live forever. That's what that is. And it's directed by Chloe Zhao. I think that's how you say her name. Oh, Zhao, who just won for Best Director. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely.
Let's see, we have Spider-Man: No Way Home. That's going to be in December. We have the What If series, which they don't have actually have a date for, but that looks really great. And what else? Oh, we have Miss Marvel series, which is going to be dope. Starring or it's based on Kamala Khan, the Marvel character who took everyone by storm. Since it came out in 2013, she took over the moniker of Marvel because, it's Captain Marvel now for the other character. And so she's going to get her own show, and she's also going to appear in the new movie Marvels, which is Captain Marvel's sequel. So I'm looking forward to
Cool.
that, especially be seeing this how this is our first Muslim character that is
That's
getting
nice.
shine. So shout out to them for that. We have Doctor Strange in the Month of Madness, or sorry, in the Multiverse of Madness, which is coming March 25th. So
So
these are all
excited for
next
that.
year. Especially because it's supposed to be like a horror film, in a sense. So yeah, looking forward to that. Then there's Thor: Love and Thunder, which will be May 6th. So a bunch of great stuff, right? And then they went over to Phase 5 and beyond. And so there's no real dates for these. They're kind of like 2022 and in the future. So She-Hulk is getting her own series. Looking forward to that.
Good.
That's gonna be freaking awesome.
She's the
Yes, and she has the ability to change back and forth between her Hulk self and herself,
bomb.
and she stays cognizant when she's in the Hulk mode. So
She's a lawyer.
I'm looking forward to that. And so especially with them having the lawyer angle, like how that's going to play in. Is it going to be something like Daredevil? Who knows? In her universe or in her comic, everybody knows that she's She-Hulk, so it's not something that she actually hides. So that's going to be interesting. And then of course we have Black Panther. I'm sorry, the Marvels is actually going to be in Phase 5. That's going to be November 11th, 2022, and that's going to be directed by Nia Costa. Or Costa, who is directing the new Candyman film. So
Interesting.
she's great. She's great. But yeah, also part of Phase 5, which is something we got hype for, was Black Panther: Wakanda Forever.
Yes.
And that's going to be,
Wakanda
yep, that's going to be July 8th, 2022. So we want to talk about this a little bit more because there were some mixed feelings about the title. And I kind of understand why. But everyone was, for the most part, everybody was excited that we're going to have a new
forever.
Black Panther. Some people were curious about how they were going to treat the Black Panther, considering Chadwick Boseman's passing. And it seems like they're going to go with Shuri being the next Black Panther, which is something that actually happens in the comic. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they transition or how they make that work. But some people felt like, you know what? The Wakanda Forever was mad easy or lazy. Sorry, it was lazy, and I kind of get it. And hopefully, when the movie comes out, we'll be able to see why it was named Wakanda Forever. But it did seem like this was a simple. It could have been a nod to Chadwick, and
That's what I thought it was. I'm not even joking. I thought that they were calling it Wakanda Forever because I obviously I don't want it to be the last Black Panther film. You know what I mean?
right.
But it almost like if they wanted to put it to bed, even I don't think a lot of people would even be mad with this, just the simple fact that a lot of people are having a really hard time seeing anybody else play Black Panther but Chadwick. I mean,
Yeah.
like it's just not going to be easy to like sit there and be like, kind of the way we were with Banner. We've had three Bruce Banners, but it was always kind of like, okay. I mean, obviously the first one was really bad. The second one was way better, but still. And then we got the third one. We don't have a Hulk movie. We just had a new Banner, which is
Right.
okay because there was a bunch of other characters and it was Avengers. But this is where, you have your own movie and the main character has passed away. Like in and so I think that a lot of us probably would be okay with not having to worry about another person playing it. And I can see that, but
Right.
also that makes me sad because Wakanda is such an interesting place that we don't know enough about. If you haven't really read the comics, and it kind of sucks to think that maybe we wouldn't get a lot more, but that's what this movie is supposed to be about. This movie is supposed to be about Wakanda and about the people and about other things that go on there. And that's the purpose. It's not going to center around, T'Challa. So
Right.
that's the only way that they can really accomplish it because they don't have any other real footage.
Right, and
So
they already said that they weren't going to, at least right now, they weren't
yeah.
going to bring out. So I'm curious in how they're going to do that. Are they going to have him pass away in the film? Are they going to
No.
have something where, like, because in the comic, there's portions in the comics where he actually leaves. He take a leave of absence kind of thing, where he's like, I can't deal with certain things that's going on, whether it's, the conflict that arises after he marries Storm. Like, there's a bunch of stuff that happens where he has to separate himself. Even being with the Avengers, because it clashed with working for his country as the king. And then, Shuri stepped in and became the next Black Panther. So I'm curious of, are they gonna just have him away and then eventually introduce a new actor when enough time, presumably enough time has passed? Or are they gonna be like, we're just gonna, because there's future stories that might be gone if they what I mean? So it's like, how do you handle that? And that can be really touchy. And that, even just from the title, people are feeling away. So I don't know. I don't envy
Ryan Coogler
Ryan's
and
shoes.
everybody.
I do not. I do not at all.
I'm gonna be with you on that. I don't envy him. This is not easy.
But they're gonna take a decent amount of time. The filming is supposed to start July of this year. And so they have time. There's, I'm pretty sure they've been thinking about what they're gonna do and how they're gonna, if they're announcing a date, then I'm pretty sure that they have some idea of where they want to go and villains and whatnot. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. Being a fan of the first Black Panther film, being a fan of Chadwick, I'm looking forward to it. Super, super looking
Me
forward to it.
too.
Hopefully
Excited.
they do a good job. Some of the other things that we want to make mention before we move on, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, I think that's how you say that, is
I'm
coming.
guessing.
This is gonna be, so this is like, this is a few years from now. This is February 17th, 2023, and it picks up after Endgame. So this should be interesting. All the Ant-Man and Wasp films, or I should say Ant-Man and then Ant-Man and the Wasp, have been rather funny. Have been, I like the smaller scale of the superherodom. It's a little bit more intimate in that sense. It's not like the world is ending. And they made for good films. So I'm looking forward to this. And interesting enough, I don't think T.I. is going to be in it. We made mention of that before.
Don't think so.
He's not going to be in it for obvious reasons.
Come on, Tip.
We also have Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is actually bringing everyone back, including James Gunn. If for the people who don't know, he was booted essentially from the series because of some things that he tweeted, I want to say years ago. He has, you know, since made amends, or he actually made amends before people found out about the tweet. And so Disney was like, hey, you can come back, especially after they found out that he was directing the next Suicide Squad for DC. It's like, you know, you can't be working for the competition, fam. So they're like, you need to come on back. So that's going to be and also so a lot of the actors like Batista, they were saying that they wouldn't come back if he didn't, because they didn't like the way he was treated. And so yeah, that's going to be May 5th, 2023. They're not going to start shooting that for a while. But it'll bring back all the original characters and, you know, actors and whatnot. So shout out to that. And then the last thing they hinted at was a new Fantastic Four movie, which I am looking forward to, because I believe that they have not done the Fantastic Four justice yet.
Yeah.
The first one had, in terms of looks, some of the people, I know Chris Pratt, you know, not Chris Pratt, the other Chris, the guy who plays
Chris
Captain America.
Klein? Oh, Chris.
No, Chris. He's not Chris. What is his name? What? It fell out of my head. But Captain America, he was the guy who it fell out of my head. The guy who plays Captain America was originally the Human Torch.
Okay.
And which is weird, like an MCU weird thing that he's done. But that was when the Fantastic Four was owned by another studio. Now that Marvel has it back under their umbrella, we're actually going to get a new Fantastic Four. And hopefully it's going to be something that is way better than everything that came before. I'm looking forward. Dope. You know, for me, I would like no names, but if you have to pick people, like make them fit the roles really well, and do the justice, and don't make Dr. Doom a magical, like a super villain in the sense that he has, like, you know, powers, or he gets like accidental powers.
Right.
He has magic because of his brain. Like he knows spells. He uses gadgets. He's not like an alien. Like, they always do these weird things with him. Just make him regular. Like, Dr. Doom is a pretty great freaking villain. Like, easily top three villains in Marvel ever. We don't need you to embellish him already. He's pretty great. Just leave him alone. but yeah, so they showed that in a, doing their montage of, you know, films and such. That's going to be coming, I assume, in 2023. Or at the very least, we'll know something a little bit more in 2022. But yeah, awesome stuff from Marvel.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Shout out to the Blade series as well with Mahershala Ali. I think that's how you say his name.
Mahershala.
Okay, there you go. Ali, who's going to be playing Blade. I'm looking forward to all this. As a Marvel fan.
Yeah.
I like it.
I'm excited too.
Flipping over to DC, we wanted to talk about the Black Superman, because Warner Brothers is looking for a Black director to direct a Black Superman film. And from what I'm reading, though, it's not going to be a Black Superman like Black Superman. It's going to be a Black person playing Clark Kent. And I feel a way about that. And it's not why you think. It's not why you think. But before I get into that rant, what do you think about a Black? Because it's going to be a minute. What do you think about the a Black Superman?
Okay, so I have a couple opinions. But the biggest thing is, like, you know, we look for representation in a lot of things. And we've talked about representation. Like, last year, we talked about it when we were doing Black History Month last year and talked about, like, how we're not represented in superheroes. We're not represented in anime. And where we'd like to see more of it. And this is kind of one of those things where I'm kind of indifferent in a way, because, like, I'm like, okay, Clark is a guy from the Midwest, a guy from Kansas, okay? And I'm not saying there's no Black people in Kansas, because there's not. So I definitely want Clark to be represented. I'm not, he can be anybody, but look, let me put it this way. James Bond 100% should be played by Idris Elba. Okay. Like, there's just no reason why not. Like, come on. James, the formula of James Bond is men want to be him, women want him. Okay. He embodies it, and he looks great with a gun and a suit. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm sidebarring. I was really going down a path. We could be there forever. Back to Clark. Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, okay, he doesn't need to be black if all you want is somebody to play Clark. Like, he could be anybody. He doesn't have to be black. He could be whoever. He can be any race, anybody. If you wanted somebody of color, if you're that pressed of having somebody of color, you can ask anybody. But if you're going to have America's hero, that's not Captain America, that's Superman, you know, was probably the first superhero I ever learned of, and you want him to embody that, then have him live a culturally black life. Because I just think there's so many comedic things that are going on in my head, and so many things that I know are going to go wrong. There's just so many right. things. And I'm just imagining, like, okay, look up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman. Okay. Are a bunch of people going to look in the sky and see a black man that's Superman and be like, oh my God? Or are the cops going to be like, oh God, get a bazooka. We got to shoot that down. There's a black man in the sky with superpowers who could possibly kill all of us. Like, I need that to be represented. I mean, if you're literally killing black children and you're literally killing black men who have no weapons, who are harmless, who are minding their own business, can you imagine a black man who can literally lift the Empire State Building out of the ground and then laser half of the earth with his eyes, and police aren't going to try to shoot him? I mean, they're not going to win, but why wouldn't they try? Oh, are we just saying that police only pick battles they know they can win?
Potentially. Yeah, I see that. I see if they don't do, that's going to be weird, right? Like, if they just superimpose, and this is probably why they're looking for a black director, which also has people up in arms. We're going to get mm-hmm. to that. But if they're going to have him be, you know, Clark Kent, he's going to face some racism. It's just, especially yeah. with him early on, where he's not showing people his powers, or he's not trying to be Superman in front of people. You're going to have that in there, just because yeah. it would not sit well. Or it wouldn't be reality. And granted, I know this is yeah. superheroes, but no one is not stopping a black. Even freaking the black Green Lantern, John Stewart. He had to deal with racism, and he was on the freaking Justice League. Like, this is going to happen, you know? And in that sense, it's like, do we really need to do this? Do we? I don't know.
I don't think it's necessary, but, you know, whatever.
My issue with it has nothing to do with Clark Kent in that sense. It has everything to do with the fact that we have a black superhero or a black mm-hmm. Superman. We have Calvin Ellis, even though he's mm-hmm. from Earth 23. You know, so that's a different, you know, dimension or a different universe. It's still part of DC. The Flash, there's a Flash movie that's coming out, and the Flash is notorious for, like, just messing stuff up when it comes to continuity, like the continuum or whatever, mm-hmm. or just running so fast that he breaks into another universe. There's rumors of his film where, you know, he goes different places, and that's why Michael Keaton is going to be Batman in his film, because there's a potential that he's going to, you know, he's going to land somewhere in the multiverse that isn't the current DC universe, right? And so mm-hmm. there's room for this Superman to be not Clark Kent. But from everything that they're saying, and granted, none of this mm-hmm. is set in stone, right? But from what they're saying so far is that this is actually going to be Clark Kent. And I'm like, why do we need to do this when we have a hero? And the only thing I can think of is that this is a bait and switch type of thing. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, if you remember, Marvel did this a while back when they did this new initiative of being diverse. They had, you know, the Hulk was gone. They have an Asian, you know, Asian American being the Hulk. They had a Thor that was a woman. They had all these different changes that came about. And some of them stuck. Like, shout out to Riri. She was able to stay as Ironheart, even though she took over the Iron Man comic for a while. But mm-hmm. a lot of people, it changed. And I was warning people ahead of time. I was like, look, this sounds nice in some instances. It sounds nice. But what tends to happen is that these books don't sell at all, because mm-hmm. one, you alienated a fan base. which is your white customers, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And you are potentially giving us characters that won't stick around, and you know it. So not only do you, and then you don't market it well. So
Yeah.
you have all those three things going against you. And what ended up happening is all of these books got canceled, right? And
Yeah.
Marvel comes out with a statement like, oh, people weren't buying them. So
Mm-hmm.
what happens? Thor becomes Thor again. He gets his hammer back. He gets his arm back. He gets all this stuff back. The Hulk returns. Even though they still have the Asian Hulk character, he's still around. But the original Hulk, Bruce Banner, actually returns. And people were like, well, this was going to happen. Two things that told me this was going to happen before anybody knew in terms of like comic book sales. Number one, Stan Lee was like, we can continue these stories as long as you always re revert back to zero. What he means by that is whatever happens in their life, they have to come back to their status quo. For instance, Spider-Man became super rich like Tony Stark. He even had like dressing up as Spider-Man, pretend like he's his bodyguard, similar to how Iron Man was. He eventually lost all of his money and now he's poor again. It has to come back. So some things stay the same, like he's with Mary Jane now, but in terms of him struggling as a superhero, he's back to square one. So that's number one. Number two was that they hinted at this mess beforehand. They had a Thor book, right? And it was being helmed by a woman Thor. And then they do like a shot in the future, like they show like a future Thor handling a conflict with his three granddaughters. It's Thor though. It's King Thor. He's taken over Odin's seat as Thor. So something so that they're basically telling you that eventually he's going to become Thor again. This is like 2 years before it got swapped. So then the woman who's Thor, she's a new character now. She's the Valkyrie. Thor gets all of his stuff back, and now he has taken Odin's seat, just like the future thing said, right? What was the point? All the women who are like, yay, we gotta, you know, we're represented, we have Thor, it got reverted back. It got
They're like, oh,
reverted
that
back.
was a
And
while
that was the plan. They showed you in advance that that was the plan. Now, you might be asking, well, why would Marvel do this? Why would they throw away money? Here's the thing. We have to equate what was sold versus what they expected to sell to offset the perception. If a
lasted.
comic book sells decently, enough for them to keep it on, but not as much as the main book sold, they can justify canceling it. For instance, if you have Captain America, who's being played by Sam, like the Falcon, he's the new Captain America. It sells decently amongst the black people, but not enough globally like the original Captain America. Guess what? You can make a pretty penny. You can save face with with black people, and then you can revert it and get all your white people back. So you don't really lose money there. And if people argue like, hey, diversity, 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 you're like, you know what? We tried.
Yeah,
Because when it
that's
goes
what
back
they
to
do.
status quo, they get to hire the people that they want to hire. They get to move the people that they want to move. They can keep the top people being white men. They can keep all that stuff the same, but yet they gave you your crumbs, and you're like, okay, you can't complain now. We gave it to you. It didn't sell. But no, you didn't market it the same way you did. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
So
you didn't
like,
work on it. You didn't put the effort into it. You didn't put in any effort that you did with the first one to know that people would want this to stay. You did it intentionally so it wouldn't stay, so you could go back to what you wanted. You could go back to
exactly.
your default.
Exactly. You can go back to your default. And again, if it caught on really, really well, then some of those characters stayed because obviously money. But if it didn't, it was like, okay, we can have this huge return for this character. We can sell even more books. Like there's math here in the long run. I feel like this could be the case for DC when it comes to Batman. I mean, not Batman, Superman. Because my whole thing with DC was that they actually did it in a better way. Instead of taking the Green Lantern, Hal, the white guy, they gave us John Stewart. They gave him a separate story and everything. He's his own character. And it worked. You still had people who want to read, I guess, the white version, Green Lantern, and you had people who want to read the black version. Both books sold. Now, so I would expect the same thing in the DC universe. Have a black Superman that's from a different place. This could be really interesting. There's a whole lot of spin-off material that you can do. There's a lot of, in terms of storytelling that you could do that would attract other people whereas you don't piss off your other fan base. Now, I'm not talking about racist people. Let's put them in
Yeah,
their
they don't
own,
count.
put them in their own bubble. But for the people who are like, the people who are like, you know what, I grew up with this guy being like me, and I kind of want him to stay like me. I get it, because I don't want anybody to change the Black Panther to white, or to go.
That would be really weird.
It would, and to be honest, he actually has a he had a white stepbrother for a little while. So there you know the whole white wolf thing, that wasn't Bucky at first. That was someone else. But it was a thing, right? And obviously, there's a little bit difference with Black people because we don't have very good representation anyways. So that would be an extra, like no-no.
Y'all
But
can't do that.
on the real though, with just a black hero, I want them to stay black because I get to see them now. I get to finally see you. So it's a little different for black and when it comes to black people. Also, our stories tend to deal with black issues as well. So that's not the easiest or the trickiest thing to do.
Can't really translate that to
Exactly.
white America. Like, it doesn't really work that way. And
Exactly.
actually thinking of, like, my brain's still trying to work on this. I mean, it's kind of not. I'm trying to also try to push it out of my mind, but at the same time, I'm also trying to process it because I'm just like, okay, Black Superman. So, I mean, not Black Superman, Black Clark. So, Clark Kent, glasses, hot glasses, black. Okay. So, he has his mom and his dad. His adoptive parents. So I don't know if his adoptive parents are still supposed to be white people.
That's
Okay,
that's interesting.
so I'm saying this because White Clark, now we just have to moniker them. So White Clark has his parents and he don't know no different. He doesn't know that he is not their kid. So we've got Black Clark, who also could not know that they're not his parents because a lot of little kids don't really see color. For real, they'd just be like, no, these are my parents. And obviously the kids at school would be the ones to, make that very clear. Anyway, even if that's not the case, let's say he has black adoptive parents. That's great. Which also means that his real parents are black from the planet that they hail from.
Yeah.
So that actually just kind of opens the way up for this to be a black movie. That's just gonna be a straight up black movie. So like
It'll
you've
be
got
interesting.
I know. I'm just like, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Okay, so we've got, I really want to see Krypton. Like I'm now interesting. Like Ta-Nehisi Coates is gonna be like writing. And I'm just like, wait. So who's in this? Okay. How far have they gone? Have they projected? I'm not saying they've cast. I'm saying let's project. I used to do storyboards all the time when I wanted, like, when I was, me and my friend were actually literally working on the live action version of Sailor Moon. We had picked all of our people. We had picked John Goodman as the dad. We had a whole cast. Okay. My point is, I want to know who their projections are. Who are they thinking of
So far,
to
no one. I
roll?
mean, the closest they've come to is saying that we want a black director to direct the film. They haven't actually picked any of that. So I mean, can you, not that this is a bad thing, but can you imagine if he has white adoptive parents and how bad that could go if they don't address any type of racism?
Oh my God, like it's gonna like okay, and is it still gonna be Kansas? Like I
I
need to
believe so.
know these
Because that's the thing. All they're saying is that he is supposed to be Clark Kent. They're not saying how far they're going in changing it. And I think someone smart in the room was like, "Yo, get a black director, because if we just put a black actor in this role and we don't change anything else, this could go real left. So
gonna go
let's
so
get a black
bad.
director. At the very least, he'll be like, "Nah, fam, we can't do that."
Like director, black writer, black everything. It's gonna be like everybody's going to I mean not like everybody, but like I'm gonna need to see 85% of your staff being black people from different wall. Like I need that room, the room where it happens. That table is gonna be big. It's gonna be full of black people. Okay, this can't be one of those situations where it's like, there's only one black person in the room when they told a little black boy to wear the monkey t-shirt. Okay, and the black person in the room was the boy's mom, who also thought it was okay. Like, I need more. We don't want to go down that road. I don't
Yeah.
want to go down that road. So I'd be like, it could be amazing. It could be great if these things that we're talking about really happen, because I'm literally thinking of this like Krypton is gonna be a bunch of black people, because as far as we know, Krypton is a bunch of white people.
Yeah, that was, yeah. The one black
I don't know.
family.
I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I'm just like, whoa, what if all these black superheroes show up? Like, seriously, fam, this could be the gateway into black superness. Like, and then people are like, y'all slept on us so long, you didn't know we had this, dude. They did a whole movie, not movie, but they did a whole series with black people learning magic. I'm just saying, like, if Krypton was black, could be a rap song.
Oh,
Okay,
God.
it could be a pop song. So many things would be, I mean, like, there's so many planets now where it's literally just black people with superpowers. And it's not like just Pandora where people have tails and dots on their skin, but they have dreads when they're like being normal. But then when they're in a love scene, all of a sudden their hair's straight. It's not gonna be like that. Sorry, I gotta James Cameron, I need to know what happened. Her hair was in braids, okay? It was in braids. And then when they had that little love scene, her hair was straight. So automatically, when the hormones get released, what, the braids just loosen themselves? And then after she wakes up on the ground with what's his face, because something's happening in the over whatever, her hair's in braids again. Explain it. Make it make sense.
She's talking about Avatar people.
If you didn't know.
Oh my gosh. I am curious. I'm definitely curious. And for the most part, DC is trying to do some things in terms of, or I should say they're being diverse with the characters that they're picking. With the Blue Beetle being Latino and stuff like that. So they are trying different things and pulling different characters, but I don't want you to just take a character and then change them unless it's someone like for instance in the Suicide Squad, the sequel, we have Deadshot who isn't like nothing about him is white. Like he can be played by anyone because he doesn't have a backstory that kind of makes him whatever. Not Deadshot. Deadshot was the first one. It's the I forgot the name of the. There's so many dead people. There's so many assassins in DC. What is it? What is his name? Give me one
Don't
second.
know.
But yeah, so like, he's played by Idris.
Idris Elba, what?
He's been
What? What did we say?
Bloodsport. Sorry, Bloodsport. There's nothing about Bloodsport that is Idris Elba is playing Bloodsport in the new Suicide Squad. There's nothing about his character that makes you go, oh, he's a black guy. Or, oh, he's a white guy. And so it
Is
works.
he British in the movie? Is he gonna be British?
I believe so.
Yay!
But he is it's he it doesn't matter in terms of switching. But if someone wanted to play like a if there was a black Batman, everything needs to change. It just would not work.
Yeah,
That would not
it doesn't.
that just doesn't work at all. So yeah,
Wait,
so
can
that's
you imagine?
I can imagine him screwing it up. I can imagine that. It just would you would have to change so many things about the character because that doesn't there's certain things that just doesn't resonate with us or isn't very possible or plausible or there's so many things that it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. You can't have a black vigilante going around here fighting crime and stuff. It doesn't work that way
I
because
mean, we
you
saw
can't.
that in The Watchmen, and we saw what happened when that guy tried to be a good cop, just a good cop, not even a superhero, and he got nearly beaten to death. You know what I mean? So like, you can't. There's certain things you can't just hide from because you just want to swap, races or whatever the case may be. It doesn't work that way for everybody. So yeah, I hopefully it's good at the very least. I do hope that they do get a black director or someone in the room who could be like, no, this isn't it. Please change it. What are you doing? You horrible, horrible people. I hope there's someone in the room that would do that. Because if not, it's just gonna be bad. It's just gonna be so bad. But anywho, moving on to our last topic. We wanted to talk about, is it Yasuke?
Yasuke, yes, son. I mentioned Yasuke some time ago, y'all. It was very brief, but
You did. You did.
yeah, the only reason I wasn't like I was just talking about Inuyasha. All right, and if anybody is familiar with Sengoku Jidai, the Warring States era, the time period where Japan was at war and you had warlords who were trying to unify it, and you ended up with the Tokugawa shogunate for like 300 years or whatever. But I mentioned Yasuke because I just wanted something different for Seishomaru. I was not a fan of him marrying Rin. I'm still not a fan of that. I just don't think it's right. But I was like, dude, why couldn't he just marry the daughter of Yasuke? Like, I said this because, I write myself into all the stories that exist in the world, and I'm Yasuke's daughter. Hello. Half demon, half Yasuke's kid. Like, come on, man. I come up with all kinds of stories, y'all. I'm creative. She creative. Oh, she creative.
Facts.
Hashtag natural Yana. But anyway, yeah, I mentioned Yasuke a while ago, and just because he is the Black Samurai. This is a person who was African and was brought to Japan and ended up becoming a vassal of Nobunaga Oda, the demon from the south, or whatever they used to call
Yeah.
him. And so we did watch the show. Kenny watched the whole thing. I just watched the first two episodes, and we have feelings towards that. So, Kenny, why don't you tell people how you feel?
So let me preface this with the fact that I had different expectations, and those
Right.
expectations were brought upon by myself.
Yeah.
So I can't look at Netflix and be like, what the hell are you doing? Because
Yeah.
they didn't come out and it was like, this is what we're trying to do, and
Yeah.
totally did a 180. No, this was my expectations. And the reason why I had these expectations is because when we first heard that a Yasuke project was happening, it wasn't the animated of the animated sorts. It was a live action.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman was going to play the character, and it
Exactly.
was going to be a live action film, or either a live action film or a live action series. And obviously it got canceled, with his passing. And so after that, Netflix is like, yo, we got something. And my thought, which was wrong, I admit, but my thought was, oh, we're gonna do the same type of thing, but just anime, because we don't want to do a live action. Like we're really interested. What it actually ha what act what in actuality what happened was that the creator of Cannon Busters,
Sean
Lushan
Thomas.
Thomas, wanted to do a anime based on the character, and Netflix approached them about it because of how well Cannon Busters did. Whether or not you like Cannon Busters is beside the point. They wanted him to do, a more anime, and he pitched three ideas. One of them was Yasuke, right? And so, in my brain, I'm thinking, oh, we're gonna do something historical. We're gonna let people know, because even there was a little bit of an advertisement where they were like, hey, a black samurai, like he's based on a historical person. So I'm thinking, oh, we're doing historical. Obviously, it's not gonna be, all the way historical or like a documentary, because we know so little about him. It's a lot of his past is kind of erased, like especially after he leaves, I want to say leaves Japan. It's erased. We don't know what happens. And so you'd kind of have to make up a lot. And so I expected that, but I thought it was going to be more about him. I mean, he's the protagonist, right? Turns out that that's not the case. So part of this is on me for my expectations, and part of it is on Netflix and Thomas and Lakeith, because they didn't do what I wanted them to do. Okay, one thing I will say, in terms of props, the music is fire, and the animation is better than the animation that Netflix usually use, because they used a Japanese animated studio,
Yeah, they
Mappa.
did. Yeah.
And they're really good. They're really good at what they do. They didn't use, because Netflix usually leans on another group, the guys who did Castlevania and whatnot. And they're not they're hit or miss. They're hit or
Yeah, they
miss.
are hit or miss.
Mostly miss as of recently. And so I was like, the animation is good, and hey, we might get something that's pretty dope. So I watched the first episode. First episode was pretty cool. I was mad confused when I saw giant robots, though.
Yeah, and the giant robots come out so fast that you have to question your own existence.
Yeah.
you really need to find out what you're watching. You're just like, wait a minute, but am I at home?
Did I click the right
button? Did I click
the yeah, like, next thing? The hell? Like, I knew it was going to be some extra, like, you know, it's anime. So, you know, yeah, the fight scenes aren't going to be realistic in nature. It's going to be people, you know, I thought Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, maybe. But,
right.
But mechs? In few yeah. times, I didn't mech. Expect that.
So this is the thing for me. As soon as the mechs came out, I was like, okay, so y'all wanted to do some Samurai 7 nonsense. Like, y'all wanted to go that direction, because I actually thoroughly enjoyed Samurai 7, but it's different when you take Samurai 7 after you've already had 7 samurai.
Right.
Okay? Like, it's different when you mechanize something, because that's called a reimagination of a story. Whereas right. this is a story that nobody knows. And I'm saying nobody knows because there's not a lot of people who took the time to know this stuff who are really intrigued. And there's just not that much information, because there never really was that much recorded history on it.
Right.
So this is your opportunity to show history, you know, outside of the tidbits that we get, like Afro Samurai, you know, and there's not that much. So this is your opportunity to do something historical. I was thinking we're going to get something on the realm of Ninja Scroll and what's it called? The one that I love, Basilisk. You know, I'm prepared and for that. And then that's not what we got. We got mechs and jokes. Mechs and jokes. Like the 3 minutes in, he goes, I thought you were the only Black person in Japan. What? There's another Black person in Japan? And I was like, okay, I'm laughing right now, but I'm confused as to why there's humor, and I'm still confused as to why there's robots.
Yeah, they went with this fantasy, you know, I don't even want to say, it's not steampunk. I don't know if it's steampunk. Oh, I don't know if they weren't off of steams. No, they're not, because yeah, the robots, you see them later on in a little bit more detail, and yeah, they're actually like machines. Like, someone built these machines and they have wiring and stuff. This isn't but none of that's anywhere else. Like, there's no TVs or planes or anything. It's just these, like, you know, like, I get it in terms of, like, if we were talking about gunpowder, but this isn't the same thing.
No.
So it was a little confusing, but I was like, you know what, whatever, you know what, it's still a Black show, Black director, Black showrunner, so I'm like, all right. Mm-hmm. You know, black voice acting, cool. Let's try it. Let's see what's what.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only 6 episodes.
Is the third done? What?
Facts. And it didn't. It turned into something that I didn't expect. So I'm not gonna spoil the whole show.
Mm-hmm.
We only spoil the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, because we figure that doesn't really matter. It's all about the final that you don't want to spoil. Mm-hmm. So if you don't want to hear these spoilers, you can bounce and come back later. Mm-hmm. But we just kind of wanted to warn you that we're going to be spoiling the first episode. What I can say outside of that, though, is that I didn't expect the show isn't as about him as I thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. It's more about the culture. It's more about Japan in a way.
That, and then also it's about, you know, him rescuing someone mm-hmm. who appears to be white. I only say that because when we do anime, apparently all Asian people have to look white. I don't know why that's a thing. I don't know why that's a thing, but even when they do the voice acting, a lot of times it's done by a white person because mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But it, when you look at it, the fact that he is positioned to be an outsider, an outcast, there's racism towards him because of the way he looks. The first episode, they talk about him being dirty, but they don't know that that's just his Black skin.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have that, you know, that's going to be a thing, right? Mm-hmm. But then the optics of him having to go and rescue someone who's white and a white woman and how that kind of works out, it's just... We kind of expected more of him, and it's less mm-hmm. of him, more of him being a, you know, a bodyguard, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot in terms of backstory with him, you know, as he got to this point, but Yeah, it's not what I thought. It's not, and I'm not gonna go any further than that. Maybe once everyone has seen that, you know, all the episodes, we'll come back and kind of go like a deeper dive. But there's reasons why I feel the way about that a little bit. It's not that that can't be a thing. It's just that, like you said, when you have a first of something or something that can speak to something, you kind of want it to do that. And that's partially on me again, but it's like I want to know about Yasuke. I don't want to know about these other people. They're extras. Let me talk about him, or let me see about him. And you don't really get a lot of his character. You don't really get a lot of, even with the backstory stuff, you get him as a reactionary character. Like, he's honorable, so this is how he acts when this thing happens. But as far as who he was as a person, where he came from before this time, you don't get that,
Which is so
unfortunately.
weird. And yes, unfortunately is a great word because it's like you had an opportunity to do that. So it's interesting that even LaShawn Thomas decided to go a different route because apparently what he said was that this was, I don't know if he said it, but they're like, this is more of a celebration of Japanese culture. And I was like, okay, that's interesting, LaShawn. He lives in Tokyo now, so maybe that was his intention, but his intention wasn't really to tell a black story. I'm not sure. I guess I'm not really sure why, because you actually had a really great fabric to work with because there's not much known. There's not enough known about Yasuke. There's a lot known about Nobunaga. And so all you needed to do was fill in the holes with a story that's already written for you. I mean, that's how a lot of these stories, I don't even want to say, but Oscar winners, but a lot of award-winning stories, the fabric is there. The molds are there, and it's just up to you to tell an amazing story with the little that you have. This is a chance of creativity, if you ask me. And maybe he's not the one to tell that story. Maybe somebody else can. But I think that it's a great opportunity for so many different people to come and fill the holes. A good example of this is even in like the Meiji period, with going into the Meiji period from the Tokugawa shogunate, from like that. So when you had Kenshin, we all had Rurouni Kenshin, and we watched that. And then we had Peacemaker after that. And Peacemaker wasn't so different just because it was more on the shin about the Shinsengumi. It wasn't that. It was just that you have holes. You have story where there's not a lot of written text, and you have places that you can accentuate. You can accentuate the relationship with between Hijikata and Shoji. I think, can't remember his name, Soji or whatever. Whereas in Kenshin, they didn't do that. They didn't focus on Hijikata and Soji's relationship really at all, except like one time. And in this show, I noticed how they definitely focused on Nobunaga's relationship with Ranmaru. Like that was a thing. If you play Dynasty Warriors, or not Dynasty Warriors per se, Samurai Warriors, you might get a bit of that. Like I always talk about how I play Warriors Orochi, and so when you play those games, you get a lot of history. But they're also there's a writer there, and there's people who create more story and more drama that m than may not have been there. Like this is an opportunity. It's just such an opportunity when no one knows anything. You.
Like you have, like you said, you have gaps in history that you could fill in, and you filled it in with like cliche anime stuff. Like that, like immediately you got robots. Like you just went straight, like, you know what I'm saying? Like you, we have a unique, the potential for a unique story in a somewhat familiar setting, and instead of drawing upon the uniqueness of this setting and what we could possibly get out of this particular character, you went, you know what? Where's the anime checkbox list? Okay,
Yeah, let me throw in the kitchen sink.
let's put in some magic, let's put in some, you know, some chi type stuff, let's put in some robots, and let's put in like, you know, talk of spirits, and just let's just down the box. So like multiple anime that is being pulled from
Yeah, I
to
felt
kind of
that.
create this thing, and it's like, man, why did you do like, because it's
Just
different if
why?
someone said, I need you to make a, I don't know, a black version of Bleach or something, and you're like, you know what, all right, I can mess around with these characters a little bit, but for the most part I kind of have to stay with within the outlines of Bleach. But in this sense, you there's
But
nothing.
Aizen.
There's nothing.
Just.
Right. Like you like or either the Netflix's Death Note, which I refuse to watch.
Oh, God.
But like
Oh.
you kind of have to, even though you have a black protagonist, you have to stay within the realm of Death Note. Here, you just have a basic timeline of things. You could fill it with so much stuff, and I guess he thought he was doing that with like the magic and robots and monsters, but you really just, rub shoulders with other anime. I don't
Yeah,
know why this
it
would be a celebration of anime. You could have made that Cannon Busters could have been a celebration. You could this
Yeah.
is it didn't need to be that. It didn't need to be that. And that's just me. Because I know,
I don't think it's just you. I think I don't think it's just you, because definitely I'm with you. I mean, I haven't seen the other four episodes, but I think that there are probably a bunch of other people who feel this way, but I think that those are definitely, I would say, more of the anime heads. You know, people who do watch a lot of anime will probably be like, this is awkward. Because I think there's a lot of people who are going into this thinking they're going to get an untold story. And they're going to be kind of shocked, because this is the thing. I wouldn't even mind going into this believing that I was going to be getting this untold story in the vein, like I said before, of like, you know, Basilisk. And you know, I wouldn't even have minded if this took a Samurai Champloo turn, which honestly the music puts you there. I was like, well, this sounds like Nujabes. You know, Nujabes obviously has passed away, but it had that feel to it. It did have that feel. So I was like, okay, cool. That's nice to hear. But the music was good, but then the show was like boring me and just drabby. And I'm like, okay, you know, your main character is the type of person who's kind of like that chill Ronin, like that doesn't say much, and there's not really a lot happening. So except weird stuff that I don't understand, and it's going to take me three episodes to figure it out. And unfortunately, I only had time for two. Type thing. I think that there's a lot of people who are probably going to go in it in into it with that same kind of feelings that we have. I know maybe I may have expected something slightly different, but I was definitely disappointed. And but I was like, okay, you know, I'll put effort and watch the other episodes. I just didn't have time for it because I chose not to have any more time, because I was a little bored. And I was like, you know what? At this point, this isn't one of those things where I want to stay up all night. You did mention Death Note. When I watched Death Note, the cartoon, I actually stayed up all night. I did. I pulled an all night. I watched that entire set, what, 24 episodes. I did not sleep. And the next day, I was shaking because I was just like, I cannot believe what happened in this whole show. And then I watched it overnight. Like, I literally just watched it straight. I was not doing that with this because it's not catchy enough. And I guess some other comments or comparisons that I would have is I would want to compare it to a show like Samurai Champloo, or even one of my favorite animes, which is Gankutsuo. It is The Count of Monte Cristo redone, and that came out in what, like 2005 or something or whatever. Beautifully done. Like the animation was a really cool style. And my friends, she was a fine arts major at MICA, she loved it. She was like, oh my goodness, look at this layering, look at these techniques. I love this animation style. And I loved that one. I thought it was good, and it was a nice twist on Count of Monte Cristo, and they included mechs. You weren't even, when the mechs showed up, you're surprised. You're like, whoa, but you realize this was a futuristic version of a classic tale. But I'm not grasping that from this Yasuke anime. I'm not grasping that this is a futuristic version of a classic tale, just like Samurai Seven. I'm not getting that.
It's not at all. Like it's mad confusing, and
Yeah.
it 'cause they don't, and they also don't center anything. I think, and granted, I'm trying to remember Samurai 7 if they actually centered it to where you knew this is why these things are here, and
Yeah,
I
like
can't
you
remember.
did. You did. It was like they were out in the country, and then you have like the mechanized city, because everybody out in the country is poor and suffering, and they would
That's
come
right.
pick up their rice from them. And I'm like,
That's
yo,
right.
this is cool.
So they established why there's a difference. In this show, they never established that. It's just you just happen to have robots, and everyone who sees them is like, "Oh, this is normal." Even though majority of the country doesn't it's like they only come out, I guess, during wartime. Like one of them is a mercenary, and so you kind of see them to do battle, but people look at them as if it's normal. It's like someone just walking down the street, or a samurai just walking down the street and, or the road or whatever. And that's really weird. And so after you get past all that, and you're like, okay, this is just how this world is. Then they introduce mutants. It's like, wait, wait, what is going on? Like, there's
Why?
no establishment, and it's not that could, because honestly, that could work. The last Mad Max film did that really well, where you just kind of like they put you in a place and you don't know everything, but they treat it as if it's not something that we're going to explain. It's just something that you have to kind of live through as you watch the film, and they do a really good job of that. Because and but at the same time, everything makes sense. Why this person has an oasis and he's the only person that has water, and that's why people worship him, makes sense when the whole world is basically a freaking desert. It makes sense. In Yasuke, for them to be like fighting on horseback while giant mechs are cutting people up makes no sense. While people are throwing fireballs out of their hands makes no sense. It just doesn't.
It
It
doesn't.
feels like three different anime pushed together.
It almost makes me feel like if you were going to ignore the like seriously quote elephant in the room, like there's a mech here that shouldn't be here, then I feel like other things should have been ignored. Ignore the fact that he's black. Like if anything, the weirdest thing is this is actually this man. The weirdest thing that's happening is not a war. Is not Nobunaga being so different, the most different warlord than anybody had experienced, the most different daimyo. Like, no, it's the fact that there's a black guy walking around and nobody's ever seen anything like him.
That's actually how they treat it. They treat him as if he's more strange than the
Than the
priest,
machine.
the giant machines and the priest doing magic. They and it's that makes it extra weird.
It makes it extra weird because if that's the case, if that is the case, if he is the most weirdest thing in Japan, A, change the title of the show.
Yes.
B, if he's the most weirdest thing in Japan, then and everything else is normal, then the story needs to be about him. Back to what we just said in the
Exactly,
beginning.
exactly. And it's not, it's, he's
It's
there, he's there, he's totally there. But outside of the flashbacks that deal mostly with him, he's sharing the role with someone else. He really is. And it's like,
Yeah.
we, that's,
We
it could
wanted
be,
to like it.
yeah, it's entertaining. It's definitely not, I can understand people being entertained by it. I just wasn't. And especially someone who's watched a ton of samurai-based anime, there's nothing
Come on.
that
We
outside of the
watched all of
music, shout out to Flying Lotus, for the music. Outside of the
them.
music, there really wasn't anything for me to grab onto. And then also, and not to be super harsh, but I don't think Lakeith is great for voiceover.
Oh my God. Okay, so I didn't know if we were gonna go there today, but we're gonna go there. Look, sorry to
Facts.
bother you. Like, no, for real. Like, Lakeith, we love you, and you are a weirdo, and you are awesome. But I forgot. Honestly, let me share. I gotta share this with y'all. I forgot it was Lakeith while I was watching it, even though I knew it was Lakeith. I literally forgot. That's how. Okay, God forgive me. Bad. Okay. I
Yo.
felt it was. I didn't feel like the acting was like super great, except Nobunaga was cool, man. He's actually getting me. But I was like, when his, when he's speaking, I was like, honestly, it just sounded like they just had another regular anime actor. It did not sound like this person was handpicked to play this role. And that's okay if he doesn't have a lot of animated work on his belt or whatever. But we're talking about somebody who is up there, and I was not impressed. And the fact that I literally was just like, "Who's doing this role?" Knowing good and well, like knowing before the show started, it was Lakeith. And while I'm watching, I'm like, "Who is this person?" Because I'm not really impressed.
I believe
Yeah,
he helped
no.
produce it.
Yeah, he was one of the producers, I believe.
Yeah,
So
But he sounded like he was not interested. He sounded like, and granted, Lakeith has a voice that is, he always has a voice that kind of sounds monotone a lot of the time, but he's able to inject emotion into his roles when it's live action. And it's not just because I can see him. It's because I believe he's a little bit more comfortable with acting on screen. And so he's able to, if he's scared, I know he's scared. If he's angry, I know he's angry.
Yeah.
With this role, when he got angry, I couldn't tell from when he was just, when he was excited, when he was calm, when he was sad. It just sounded like he was reading off of a piece of paper and recording it in his house.
Whole time.
And was like, all right, I'm just going to mail this in to you. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to mail this in and y'all work with it. It did not sound like almost every other actor, voice acting was better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, it was, you know, we kind of get this from celebrities in the sense that a lot of times when they're hired, they're not hired to do anything unique, unless you're like a Robin Williams or something like that. You're hired to do you because you sell the tickets. So Eddie Murphy playing a donkey was just Eddie Murphy.
Totally.
Will Smith as a genie was basically just Will Smith. So I get that. But at the very least, they are charismatic enough to sell the role. Like having Chris Rock as, you know, a zebra doesn't really say much. But the fact that he's funny as the zebra made it work. He didn't do anything special with his voice, but he made it work. But Keith just sounds so not interested in playing this role, even if he is interested, that it takes me out of whatever is going on. I'm like, I don't believe you.
Yeah. I'm not even joking. When you said the word not interested, and that was literally what I was hearing. I said, it's just funny. I wish we were watching it side by side. Like, not necessarily the same room, but, like, if we could see each other on camera so we could have seen each other's reactions.
Right.
Because the word I said to myself while I was watching this was, this guy seems so not interested in what he's doing, man. At least, like, the dude, the bad Vegeta, not the good Vegeta, which was Brian Drummond. The bad Vegeta was, like, impossible. Like, we got that. We got that. Like, unbelievable. And it was bad, but it was like, this is funny. This is cult humor. It's over 9,000. Like, come on, man. And mind you, that wasn't Vegeta. That was somebody else. But wait, was it Vegeta?
Yeah, that was Vegeta.
It wasn't his brother. It wasn't what's his face?
I don't think it was Raditz.
The other one?
No,
not Raditz. The other one. Cabbage. What's the cabbage guy's? Nappa?
Nappa. No. It was Vegeta.
It was Vegeta?
Yeah.
Okay. It's over 9,000. Anyway.
But you see how, like, how...
I'm wearing Dragon Ball socks, by the way.
Wait, what?
I'm wearing Dragon Ball Z socks. They're the Brawly socks when Vegeta and Goku both have blue hair.
Oh, okay. So that's off the recent movie. He's... Mind you, this is how disinterested he sounded is why we're talking about other anime. That's how... Like... And I thought it would pick up. I thought maybe, you know what, I'm tripping. I'm thinking like, you know what, these scenes aren't meant to be this or whatever. He's going to pick it up, like, you know, episodes go. And no, all six episodes. I'm like, I don't believe you. I think there was one time where I think he said something to another black character that I was like, that was kind of like, I don't want to say code switching, but it was kind of like, I'm talking to a black character, so let me talk this way versus talking to the Asian characters. Where I was like, oh, okay, there's a little bit of, there's some spirit there, there's some spunk. But other than that, it was kind of like, it sounded like he was reading off his grocery list, and he really didn't want to go grocery shopping that day. And he's like, ah, I got to wear a stupid mask because of COVID. All right, I need to get some bread, I need to get some cheese, I need to get some milk, I need to get some, oh man, and what do you got over there? I need to get some, and I got to get this. Like, that's what he sounded like. He sounded so not there.
Oh my God, what if he really wasn't? What if he was like, yo, this is trash, but my name is going to be in that, you know, this was like Oscar season, so I'm just going to do this, and like, you know, whatever, it's going to be, and whatever, and I got paid.
I don't, you know what? I don't think that's because you know what's
he
funny?
He doesn't do that. He doesn't.
But see, he does interviews, he sounds like his voice sounds very like he's very calm. He's very relaxed. Totally. He has interviews. But when he's acting, he turns it up. This sounded like interview him. The problem was that in an interview, I'm just listening to what you have to say about yourself, about this role. You know, you're being insightful. You're not trying to sell a character.
Yeah.
But you can't talk like you're in an interview when you're in the middle of a war with giant mechs and people who could turn into bears. Like, you can't just be regular. This isn't regular. Right. This isn't regular time. This is like, turn up. Like, some shit is going down. Are you alive? Hello?
Like, honestly, for real, like, in these types of moments, like, when I think of voice acting, because, you know, I always wish I was a voice actor. Anyway, you got to go full Pokemon. You got to go full Ash. And mind you, Ash is annoying. And I literally watched those videos with the woman who does Ash's voice, like, where she, like, talks about her voice acting and stuff. Like, yo, it's really annoying. These characters can be super, super annoying, but they get the job done. And, like, and people remember them. They remember them. So you got to turn it up. When nobody can see your face, we can only see the animated version of you. You got to turn it up. You have to turn up. And this isn't me schooling Lakeith. This is I'm not gonna speak and be like, oh, I'm schooling you, but we're on the consumer side, and it's just not coming through for us. So I'm just looking at you like,
well, I mean, when I look at because, you know, like, Disney would have, like, behind the scenes of the voice acting or DreamWorks, and I would see, like, an actor reading lines would get out of his seat and, like, actually motion with his arms, or, like, you know, frown his face the way the character is frowning, or, you know, they'll get into it and then act out what is being basically spoken.
Yes.
And so it comes through. Yeah. It comes through, as opposed to just sitting and reading. And I don't know if he was in, because of COVID.
His house.
I don't know if it was like a studio in his house because of COVID. I don't know if he, you know, Netflix was like, hey, you guys got to be a part for this. And so he couldn't go to a place where, because if you think about it, if this is the first time he's voice acting, and he doesn't have a coach, he doesn't have someone to kind of help him work through that, then I can kind of see why they would be like, okay.
Yeah, you know, totally. Totally. But and then on top of that, you know, not bashing Lakeith here, but on top of that, where's the director? Okay, because, like, I blame directors a lot more sometimes than I blame actors, because an actor can only do what they're able to do. And you can have a bad actor that looks good in a movie if the director and the team and the production team are fierce. All right? Because that's happened. I've seen that joint all over the place. There's somebody, her name's Kristen Stewart. Moving on. I just think, like, you can have people who aren't great, but it might come through really well when you've got, you know, that the bomb team. So what's his face? Is it Takeshi Miike? Will literally, you have to do the scene 150 times. He does not care. And you will do it before break. If you guys start shooting at 5 a.m. or 6 when it's golden hour or whatever, you will shoot until 8 p.m. And I'm not saying, hey, everybody needs to be a drill sergeant. I'm just saying that this is a person who shoots and shoots and shoots until he's got the shot. He knows it when he's got it. He knows it. And he's like, I have the shot. And so there's times where you might have somebody who doesn't even think they did it right. The actor is like, oh, okay, I did this 17 times. And they're like, I don't even know what he was looking for. And dude's like, oh, dude, we got that. And then you watch it and you're like, dang, that's me? That's all you're doing. I mean, yes, you are the actor and you did amazing, but the director knew what they were doing. And they caught it. So this is one of those moments where you're like, okay, hey, you didn't deliver that well, and I need you to do it 12 times. Then I need you to believe it. Then I need you to go home and sleep. And then I need you to eat a sandwich. And then I need you to think about it again. And then I need you to believe it again. Then I need you to deliver it again. And then, you know, maybe so the rest of us can digest it. Because otherwise, I don't know what was going on, but I'm not excited to see the next 4 episodes, and that's sad.
And I want to say, I was actually wrong. This isn't his first time voice acting. He actually did voice acting on BoJackman Horseman on Netflix as a guy, the Buffalo. And the thing is, though, I forgot. I straight forgot, because I believe in Guy as well. He wasn't very, but the difference with Guy and Yasuke is that Guy isn't he's not fighting for his life ever in the show. Yeah. He's not, you know, fighting giant mechs. He's not trying to rescue people. He's not potentially dying. He's just being a regular, well, in that show.
Regular Jack.
Right. In that show, the animals walk upright and talk. So they're not regular, but he's basically being a regular person in BoJack Horseman. So it works, or at the very least, we don't need much mm-hmm. from you in that role. But for Yasuke, yeah. We need you to be in this, you know? There's a really cool fight scene in one of the episodes where he is fighting a woman in like all red armor. And the music cuts in. It's really dope. And like they're going at it. They're actually doing some Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon stuff. They're jumping from tree to tree. And mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, we're picking up. This is before I knew that there was only 6 episodes, because I didn't check before. Mm. I just dove in. And but then when he starts talking, I'm like, oh God, like are we is this a fight scene? Are we still in the fight scene? Like was there a transition that I wasn't aware of?
He said, and then he just starts talking, and it went to
shit. Yeah, I was like, what happened? Just don't God. Talk. Just be quiet. Like, just be silent then, if that's what we're going to do. Even the time when he's being tortured, I was like, I don't believe you. I literally, while he was being tortured by this evil priest dude, I was mm-hmm. like, nah, he's fine. That didn't hurt that much.
He's fine.
He is faking. It is not hurt okay. that much. He's sounds good. Aight. He's
okay.
You know what I'm saying?
So he didn't even go to where he went to and get out. Like where he went to and get out was so phenomenal. You know,
a few lines, and he did everything better than what he did in this. Everything.
I mean, come on, just like him, his whole existence in Get Out was it wasn't scene stealing, it was pivotal.
Right.
You know, him, what happened in Get Out with him and the camera changed everything. Like yeah. he was in the very beginning of the movie and disappears.
Right.
He is gone. You don't know nothing. And this man comes back with a hat on the arm of an old white lady, and we're like, something's amiss. And then a camera goes off and everything changes. The music gets hype, everything changes, and he looks like he's about to murder somebody with the tears in his eyes. They are daggers.
Yes. Okay. Like
but this
fam. Oh. Like if you like sorry to bother you, like his performance in that is like. And granted, these are films where he's on TV. Like, I mean, you know, it's live action. And because of it, I think he's able to pull from whatever. Or maybe he's able to get into the role more. Maybe that's a better way to say it than it is for reading off a piece of paper. Because, yeah. And again, it could have been the studio situation where he was by himself recording and they kind of just mm-hmm. mailed it in. There wasn't any other. Because usually when they do a session like that, the other actors are there too. So you can kind of like feed off of each other, at the very least their facial expressions. That's not the case if you're doing it via Zoom or whatever the case. They didn't do it via Zoom. I'm just saying.
He said via Zoom.
I'm not saying they did that. I'm just saying like it's yeah.
What if they did and that's a whole new like portion of Zoom you can buy?
First of all, that's fantastic if they did it through Zoom. Because the fact that it didn't cut out mid-sentence, it's great. Like that is, or someone started like echoing or some mess. Like that's right. Great editing right there.
Or you didn't even get the blurb that says your internet connection is unstable.
Right, like everything dropped. He just dropped from the anime. Like, oh, where's Yasuke? Where'd he go? I don't know.
Oh, sorry. Okay. But,
so Lakeith is awesome. He's awesome as an actor. I just, you know, he got to get his voice acting chops up, or at the very mm-hmm. least, you know, be able to record in a place where the director can be like, let me need you to do that again. And who knows? Maybe he did it a bunch of times and this is the best he could do. I don't know. But I just, from me hearing it and being a big anime fan, he wasn't selling the role for me, and that's unfortunate. Yeah. Alongside the other elements that were unfortunate with the show, definitely check it out for yourself. If you're interested, I was just expecting something different. That's partly on me, but the rest of it is on everybody who's involved. So
thank you, Netflix. Yeah, it's on y'all, okay? Because y'all need to stop producing some rando animes and then disappointing our hearts. I'm tired of being let down. I'm tired of being hurt. I spent way too much time on Blood of Zeus. This is all some nonsense.
Oh my gosh. I was hoping, and you know what? I was hoping, because they started out in a decent spot, and it's not like we haven't, we kind of knew where this was going, but at the same time, I was expecting the fact that you had Egyptian gods, not Egyptian gods, gods from Greece that weren't in live action, to me, meant that we were going to get god stuff. Because typically when we have a live action film, they're limited in their budget, and so they have like what I call like a fake me out god, where it's like, ooh.
Well, you mean the Tin Man?
It's like they made a little they made a little
he
like
was the Tin Man. He was the Tin Man.
He was the Tin
he
Man.
He looked terrible in that movie.
He did, he did. But I was expecting like, okay, we're gonna do lightning, do some cool looking lightning. If you're gonna be Poseidon, do some really cool water, you know, like with the ocean. Like do some something that looks like what a god. You look like a wizard. And not a really powerful wizard. You just you telling me that you're super strong or you're super old or that you're giant size does nothing. You need to sell it. And so with an anime, sell it. You have you don't need a budget to sell that. And they didn't do that either. Outside of a few scenes, it was mainly ho hum. And then the triflingness of the anyways, we already spoke about that.
But again, this show was so boring that we've been speaking about other shows probably longer than we were speaking on this one.
So yeah, that is our show for the week. We appreciate you hanging out with us, listening to us rant and rave about everything from video games to anime to movies, manga, and everything entertainment. We appreciate you hanging out with us. Thanks for subscribing. If you're, you know, if you subscribe to YouTube, make sure you hit that notification bell so you're up on all the new content that's coming out. If you don't want to listen on YouTube, we are on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Google, we're on Deezer, Stitcher. We're all over the place. And apparently a lot of you listen via your desktop. I'm guessing you're listening while you're doing something else.
Getting paid, probably.
I respect that. At work, I heard a lot of us, some of my friends will be listening to or like watching stuff while doing work, while they're working from home. Yeah. I dig it. I saw a few of you in terms of percentages. We're also, you know, mobile. Shout out to you guys as well. Shout out to the people in Ghana from Accra who's been listening to us. You're still number two. Number one is Richmond. Shout out to the VA folks.
Okay.
Again, thank you for that, and you know, feel free to, you know, download RSS feeds. Tess still doesn't know what it is, but that's okay.
Don't, and never will.
But we have a lot of big things coming, a lot of plans. There's a lot of, I have a lot of ideas in terms of show content. So you definitely want to be here. You definitely want to, you know, hang around, because we have a lot of cool stuff coming, whether it's special guests, really cool topics, or just talking about our week. A lot of interesting things.
Totally.
I mean, even just our week have been interesting. Like with, you know, you having a potential fire at your place of employment.
Hey.
To, you know, dealing with COVID vaccines. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's been interesting to say the least. So
it really has.
Again, you know, subscribe, hit that notification bell, or check us out on Audio Boom or any of the other DSPs where you can listen to our content. We have a lot going on, a lot of interesting stuff. And yeah, that's it for housekeeping.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, y'all. I don't really have that much else to say, except, you know, if you have free time, listen to all our episodes. If you have more free time, listen to more of our episodes, and also get your COVID shots.
Yes.
If you don't want your COVID shot, we understand, but you should still get it just because you should. and because I did, and I'm a big baby. So the fact that I did really, really mean something. And Kenny's halfway there, so, you know, go ahead and do it. And I didn't die, so.
Did you die?
But yo, merch, man. So that needs to go on our why we should get your COVID shirt. So that's what it's going to be, y'all. So that's what we going to get that. We going to put the did you die, though. Did you die? And it's gonna be like get your vaccine. So there's that. Don't forget to, you know, wash your butts, wash your hands. It's extremely important. Wash your faces, all that good stuff. It's just really important. Keep washing your hands, everybody. Just keep doing it. We're really appreciative of you doing that. One day we might have to meet in person and shake hands. So I'd appreciate it if your hands were clean. Mine are.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely. And just, you know, keep watching anime, keep playing video games, and keep visiting, keep coming around. We love your feedback. It's just been a lot of fun. It's been a great year, you guys. So we're really happy to have you. We love you. Take care of yourselves. Stay social distancing. Please wear your masks. Cannot stress that enough. Please, please, please keep wearing your masks. Enjoy yourselves. Enjoy this weather. If you're in an area that has good weather, you know, it's getting warm again. Yay, it's May. Ramadan's almost over. So I know a lot of people are getting ready for Eid. So just be safe, everyone. Be safe. Take care. Listen to our shows. We love you. And that's it. Bye.